Tom Torero, podcast number 30. Pull up a chair, dear listeners, and join us on a cosy evening from Bath. It's a very English evening. I'm sitting here with an Englishman who I shall introduce in a minute. He is smoking an indoor electric cigarette. We are sipping coffee, nibbling on chocolate. We've just eaten some fine duck in red wine sauce. That's right, gentlemen, we are living the life of bachelors. I should introduce this guest. This is Tim. All right, Tim?
Hi.
When did I meet you, Tim? A few years back.
It was January 2014.
Oh, not that long ago. You should know. Before, I was going to say. Yeah. 2013 in London, and you did a residential.
Yeah.
You lived with John and I think, for a week.
That's right, yes.
That's when I met you, in London, and I stayed in touch with you, and now we're friends. I don't get to see you that often, because I'm away and you're always in Bath,
yeah.
Cozy Bath, which is kind of the topic of this podcast. We shall come back to Cozy Bath. Bath, if you don't know, if you're abroad, you should know about Bath, if you've heard of Jane Austen, or is it the Crescent, the Royal Crescent, Tim?
Yeah.
Very picturesque, very touristy, obviously the Roman Bath.
The film.
Vanity Fair, lots of films have been set here, I'm sure. The Pickwick Papers, if you know Charles Dickens. It's just a very quintessential English city. This is a city. I keep calling it a town because it feels like a town. It's tiny geographically. It's a city because it's got a cathedral.
Yeah.
That's our English definition of a city. It's got a uni. It's probably got a couple of unis, hasn't it?
It's got two, yeah. It's got Bath Spa and Bath University.
It's living the dream. It's almost like New York City, you know, basically. It's the same as New York City, just with a lot of pensioner tourists and flowers and tea. But it's very nice. It almost feels wintry. We're recording this in the evening. It's Sunday. It's very chilled. We did a bit of day game today in Bath City Centre, as much as you can do, that being the topic of today's podcast. It's a nice place to come if you want relaxation, rivers, pubs, tea, scones. But here's the question for today's podcast. Is a city or a town the size of Bath any good for day gamers? Is it possible to do day game? Can you survive here doing day game? Can you get laid here doing day game? What should you do if you live in a small town or a small city? Because I'm always talking about London and New York, and day game evolved in New York and London, as I've always said in many podcasts, for good reason. Population, yeah, anonymity, volume of approaching. You've got all these key factors, transients, tourists, social isolation, which is horrible if you don't have much game, but if you're a day gamer, you can use all these factors. And I've said many times that if you want a day game abroad, look for cities that are with more than 1 million people. Look for cities that have a big university population. And day game works well. But I'm from Cardiff and Tim is... are you from Bath, Tim?
No, just here since university.
All right, but you stayed on.
Yeah.
You live here now and you've been day gaming in Bath. That means for how many years?
5 years.
Jesus, 5 years here. We walked around the day game area of Bath today and it took us about 15 minutes?
Yeah, 10, 15 minutes.
So, as we were walking around, trying to do day game, find sets, try not to find the same girl twice, we started talking about this podcast, and it ties into a very good question, the question that guys ask about, you know, what happens if they live in Scranton? Have you ever heard of Scranton in Pennsylvania? Have you ever seen The Office, the British Office?
I've seen a British one, yeah.
Which is what, Reading? Slough. Okay, imagine you live in Slough.
Yeah, but I did my placement in Slough, actually.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Is it like The Office portrays?
Well, The Office is just set in the office, basically, so you don't see much of a town itself.
No, you see the roundabout at the beginning. I think it was voted Britain's most unhappy town.
It could well be, yes.
Can you imagine day gaming in Slough?
It's possible.
Yeah, it would be like a form of imprisonment, I think. A bit like the American version, which is set in Scranton in Pennsylvania. I've just looked that up. Scranton has 75,000 people. Bath has 90,000 people. I'll give you some more stats so you can wrap your head around the kind of size. Santa Monica has 92,000 people. Cardiff, where I'm from, which feels quite big compared to Bath for day game, that has 325,000. And then you're getting onto cities that I visited for international day game that feel too small, like Lisbon. Beautiful city, beautiful girls, but tiny. Has 530,000. Riga, beautiful girls, tiny city, 650,000. Lots of guys dream about Bratislava in Slovakia. You go there, it's tiny. 415,000. So Bath, 90,000. The one saving grace of Bath is that obviously there's this student population here. We looked that up. There's 10,000-ish students. About 5,000 international students every year, and the majority being
Chinese.
Chinese, which is very good for you, Timothy, because you are a fan of Asian girls. You've always dated Asian girls and done day game with Asian girls. What nationalities of Asia do you like?
Japan, China, Taiwan, Thailand.
So for here, you do have some kind of Asian population and a bit of transients.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, well, the golden question, how has day game been? Has it been possible in 5 years? Any success and any downfalls?
Some success, but fairly limited, and quite a few downfalls, I would say.
What do you want to start with, the good news or the bad news?
Good news is, I think in Bath the quality is relatively high compared to most English cities. And because you have a fairly high percentage of students, there's quite a high transient. So it's not just like all the local people. You see the same time over and over again.
There's undergrads, postgrads, summer school students. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Plus today we saw some nice English girls actually.
We did, yeah.
And a mixture of very random nations. I spoke to an Iranian girl in Primark, H&M?
That's Primark, yeah.
Wow, that was classy. That was amazing.
She was doing a PhD, I think.
She was, yeah. So there you go, it is possible. And last summer, did you hit a jackpot with a summer school student?
Yes, that was a Japanese summer language student.
All right, well, let's give guys hope. Let's say they live in Slough or Scranton. This was possible with a bit of research. Yes. Can you summarise what happened with this summer school girl?
Well, basically, I know where the summer school students' accommodation is, so I was kind of lurking out there after doing my shopping at Sainsbury's, and I...
You dirty bastard.
Yeah. I bumped into a couple of Japanese students who were just leaving to go to do their shopping.
What a coincidence.
Yes. Amazing, yes.
Okay, there were two.
There were two, yes. And I just glanced at one of them, and she smiled back at me, so I went and turned round at a front stop. And it was pretty easy. They were just like rabbits caught in headlights. And difficult thing was they didn't really speak much English and they didn't have phones which worked in the UK. So my only option really was to get them on an instant date. Not straight away because they were just going to do their shopping, but I just arranged to meet them at a pub nearby an hour later.
Hardcore. Alpha, good. Did they turn up?
They did, yes.
The two of them?
There were two of them, yes. One spoke better English, so she wasn't my target. The one who spoke worse English was... And she helped translate for us during a pub and lots of sort of just using a bit of Google Translate, showing pictures on my phone.
Yeah.
Then I arranged to meet them at the same place a few days later and I took them to my house for dinner.
Still both of them?
Yes, still both of them.
This is a golden story.
Then they met my housemates, so there's a bit of comfort there. Mm-hmm. And then set up a third date. She still wanted to bring her friends for that, but I tried to persuade her not to do that, and I think her friend agreed. She was trying to... They were talking in Japanese for a bit, and then they said, yeah, just she'll just come on her own.
Do you think the one you wanted, the one you got eventually knew from the beginning... What you were trying to do?
Yes, I think she did.
So again, it's that cultural thing of she just wanted the friend for safety and the nerves.
Yeah, I think it was more because she wasn't confident about her English, more than anything.
Mm. Okay, so you got her on her own on the third date?
Yes.
And then more dinner?
Just went for a walk around the park, Victoria Park. Went to a... they had a sort of a fair there at that time. Then just sort of went around a few more places in Bath, just a bit of sightseeing, back to my house.
Easy peasy or shy?
It was fairly easy, quite easy to get physical. Speech was a bit difficult because of a language barrier, but...
Don't need speech?
That's right, yes. In fact, for me, that's easier because I don't like talking much, so I'm quite happy just not...
Did she live up to the Japanese stereotype of making strange noises?
She did, yes.
Oh, you struck gold.
Yes.
That is an amazing story. Firstly, because there were two girls, and you did most of the seduction with two girls. And it's interesting how, you know, a lot of guys have this image of Asian girls being super easy. Like, I think they're imagining, you know, Bangkok or the Philippines. But an Asian girl, when she's here, if you've ever tried day gaming an Asian girl in London or, you know, fresh off the boat in New York, they're very nervous. English is often an issue. They're with groups, lack of eye contact. You can't go full on aggressively direct. So it's not the walk in the park that people make it out to be, is it?
No, it's not as easy as just going to Bangkok or Thailand.
Yeah. Or even as we were doing today, speaking to like a German girl or an English girl. So, okay, you got that to factor in here. So you know it's possible. So that did your brain suddenly go like, oh, wow, day game is possible in Bath?
It kind of did, yes. But fairly soon after that, I had a few setbacks. So that kind of sort of knocked my confidence back a lot.
Yeah. And what we were chatting about today is this kind of catch-22 situation in a small town, a small city, small town, whatever. You could, as a day gamer, you can always blame yourself, thinking, oh, you know, I'm weaseling out of this. I should be doing more. But there are legitimate reasons in a small city, small town, which we'll come on to now, the downsides of living here, where maybe the progression that a guy in London or New York sees would be very hard to match here. Yeah. So first of all, it's volume, it's population, which affects how many girls there are that you can stop, how many yes girls there are and how many maybe girls there are. So you've been to London. How does it differ between here and London?
London, you certainly don't feel the spotlight effect so much. You sort of know that you won't see the same girl again, almost certainly. I mean, because I don't live in London anyway, so I know it's not going to be an issue. But even if I did live there, I'm sure I wouldn't feel anything like so much the spotlight effect.
And it's the legitimate spotlight effect here. You know, some guys feel it in London, which is a kind of a psychological spotlight. If you don't know what the spotlight is, it's a diagnosable psychological condition where you feel people are watching you because of social pressures. I know in places like Japan, they feel that heavily, you know, the effect of society on top of them. I always think of, have you ever seen Undermilt Wood or heard of Undermilt Wood, Dylan Thomas? Yeah. Oh, it's a brilliant radio play by Dylan Thomas. He leads it very well. And it's all about the twitching curtains of a small Welsh town and the gossip going on in this tiny, tiny, sleepy Welsh town. And there's that quote, no matter what you do, someone always knew you would. So in Bath, you haven't got anonymity necessarily. But with that summer school Japanese girl, you kind of did, but the friend knew.
Yes. And I knew they were only going to be there for 1 month doing the language course, so it didn't really matter what happened.
Okay, but the girls that are here for undergrad or even postgrad, you said you've seen them again and again, or you do see them, or you've even opened them again and again in Bath.
That's happened a few times, yes. Mm-hmm. On one occasion, I closed a girl on Facebook, and it turns out we had three mutual friends who were also girls I'd day games approached, so I never heard from there again.
Yeah, burn in the town. Yeah. And the catch-22 we were on about was doing less approaches means your anxiety goes up because you can't find momentum, which means you weasel more, which means you do less approaches round and round and round. Yeah. And having a bad experience, you said, has caused some downward like beliefs and stuff. Mm-hmm. What was... Oh, yeah, you've had some near misses.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that?
The near miss was I got a girl back to my house, a girl I met in the supermarket, and she came back here.
Just sorry to stop you, but when you stopped in the supermarket, was it fully direct or did you use a bit of situational or was it indirect?
No, I think I just opened her in her home language, Chinese.
Yeah.
She was with her friend shopping and I think I just did the whole thing indirectly and just took her number.
that works, as we were talking about, in small towns and with Asian girls. Yeah. Nothing wrong with indirect. Mm-hmm. So what happened next?
Texted her a few times. Then eventually we went on a kind of date just to get a Christmas tree for my house, actually.
Yeah.
And she ended up coming back to my house. And I noticed she was kind of standing quite close to me all the time. But I didn't really pick up on that. And I sort of took her into my bedroom to look at some photos. And she sat down next to me, and there was quite a long silence, or quite a big tension moment. But I didn't really pull the trigger.
Yeah.
I wasn't too sure what to do. I wasn't sure if she knew why I'd sort of stopped her in the first place, and I was kind of worried she might freak out if I tried to escalate.
Everybody's been in that boat, mate.
Yeah. And then, although I kind of kept in touch with her after that, I kind of missed the opportunity.
Yeah, the window.
Yeah.
I always say, you know, if a girl's in your house, that's about 60% chance of a lay. Then if a girl's in your room alone, that's what, 95%? Yeah. So, yeah. But again, that it's a success in that you prove that, again, different nationality, but she came back to the house, came back to your room. But you have had more kind of negative experiences. Have you had some dodgy day game experiences or people literally watching you, complaining, security, whatever?
I've had a guy run up to me on the main tourist street in Bath, Pulteney Street. I was out on my bike once, and he just sort of ran after me and shouted, "You on the bike, stop." And I wasn't sure what he was on about, so I stopped. And then he just started shouting at me, saying he'd seen me out hassling people.
White knight. Had you spoken to his girlfriend or something?
I think I might have done, yes. I'm not sure, earlier in the day. Or I might have seen her and sort of almost approached, and then she'd gone into a house or a car.
Yeah, and it's a bit like doing it in a small shopping centre. I even feel that in Cardiff. You know, they've got like those street security people in high-vis vests. They're not police people, but they're just
street marshals.
Street marshals is ridiculous. I don't know why they're here. But in a small town, if you did it day after day or weekend after weekend, they do know who you are, don't they?
That's right, yeah.
And you're a recognisable fella, Tim. So you could say that's legitimate. Spotlight, people are watching you. You can have that thing like the guy running up to you. You've met the same girls again and again. Have you even approached the same girls or tried to close the same girls?
I have several times, yes. And in some cases, I've approached girls who've been the girlfriends of people I've known.
We were saying it's like a good analogy is like types of fishing, yeah? Because game is kind of like different types of fishing. You can do your nightclub stuff or your salsa stuff. But in terms of day game, if you're living in London or New York with 10 million people, 8 million people, whatever, 13 million tourists, it's like deep sea fishing with a massive trawler net. Now, that's not a numbers game because the quality of your net and the skill of your sonar, that's your day game, going through high volume, smashing through it and seeing what comes out. Whereas here, it's like a small lake, small river, isn't it? There is a bit of seasonality, I suppose. Mm-hmm. What's the seasonality of Bath for transients?
Well, you get the summer students from about July to September. Mm-hmm. Then you get all the new students arriving, the new postgraduate students in July, August, September. They'll be there for a year. Then the undergraduate students arrive in September.
What's it like at Christmas in the depths of Dickensian winter?
Christmas is not bad because there's a lot of people out shopping and so on. Mm-hmm. But then as soon as you get past Christmas, it's exam time, it's cold and dark, it gets dark at 4 o'clock. Mm. That's probably the worst time.
So we talked about, as I've said to other guys and tried myself, adapting day game to a town or a city like this. So you've already mentioned a supermarket, trying indoors. Mm-hmm. You're a big fan of supermarkets.
Yeah.
And that can work, for number closing?
It can do, yes, especially in the winter when it's kind of dark outside in the evenings. Basically, after work, the only places that are well lit are supermarkets. And
in America, I always say the Whole Foods, you know. Yeah, it's a nightmare. A lot of American towns and cities with driving to these places. Softening the approach slightly. So if you've just got the one high street, not doing the monkey front stop again and again and again, 30 times in a row on Saturday.
Yeah.
Finding other ways to approach.
That's right, yeah. I normally do more of a sideways stop.
Mm-hmm.
It usually works, actually. It's not really necessary to do a full front stop.
No, that was invented for London, huh?
Yeah.
And either situational or even indirect, as you said, with some of the Asian girls.
Mm-hmm.
Classic old game, works fine.
I've tried both methods and they both seem to work, so...
Yeah, yeah. It's guys have this thing in their mind, you know, it's like the... If the only tool you've got is a hammer, you see everything as a nail. I suppose you want to nail things in day game. But it's having the toolkit. And wings, I mean, how many guys in the last 5 years have you seen in Bath doing this?
Yeah, so the only guys I've seen doing it in Bath have been ones I knew from a day game boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
And I also had one friend who was dating one of my housemates who... after they split up, we used to go out together a few times as well.
So if you lived in New York or London, you know, you can find a wing, like finding a coffee shop is easy.
Yeah.
But you've got that extra pressure here then of solo day game, mm-hmm. night after night, especially as you said in the winter. You've adapted also by, I've seen you doing a lot of opening groups.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just wait for these solo girls.
That's right, yes. I wish I could, but I almost never see... Asian girls, for example, on their own, they're nearly always in groups, especially when they first moved to the city.
Do you find that you have stronger weasels, you know, those voices in your head? Do you find you have like these, you wouldn't have them in London, but here you have the voices, like you said, like she might know other girls or people are watching. Do you feel that extra pressure?
For example, she might know other girls, definitely that's stronger here.
Mm-hmm.
People are watching, that's the same anywhere, really. It's always a weasel in London or Taipei or Shanghai.
Yeah.
In some ways, it's worse in other cities because I feel less comfortable there because I don't know the place, so I don't know the culture as well. I'm not sure if, like, a guy might run up and punch me in the face in some places.
Well, I feel that in Russia a lot, and I've felt that in Dubai.
Yeah.
Legitimate. What about... guys ask about this. And despite on the last podcast, me and my mate John having a go at kind of old school ecosystem game, which is when guys do things like salsa or they join a pottery class or they go on an art walking tour, not because of that activity, it's because they're using it as a hustle, yeah, to meet girls. But in a small town or a small city or if you're at university, you kind of have to also run... ecosystem game, you know what? Do you know what I mean? Have you ever tried that kind of thing in Bath?
I used to, yes. It was kind of easier when I was just recently graduated from university. As time moves on, it sort of becomes harder to stay in that social circle without looking a bit weird.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a student anymore. I'm certainly not an international student.
The hustle's quite obvious.
That's right, yes.
People know what you're doing.
That's right.
Did you ever find that all right for getting numbers, dates? Did it work at the time?
It did work, yes. Back then I was less kind of game aware.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't take things as far as I could have done looking back.
We're in that boat. But it's a good, imagine you're talking to yourself, I don't know how old you are, Tim, but imagine you're talking to yourself as a 19, 20, 21-year-old student.
Yeah.
A good bit of advice I always say is you don't cold approach on your campus.
Right.
You don't need to jump in front of girls and do the exact day game model on your campus. If you're in that social situation already, it's a very small pond. You just need to become a big fish.
Yeah.
So if you're at uni now, or what do they call it in America? College?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same thing? I don't know. Join clubs, join societies, get in any social situation you can. Organize things, be the organizer, be the networker. And the day game you're going to need later. Day game's really designed for when you're not in a massive social gathering. You're not at school, you're not in college, and you're walking around big cities on your own. That's when day game is fantastic. So, solutions to this problem. Let's say you're living in Scranton, or you're living in Lisbon, or you're living in Bath. Not that you are living in Bath, because we would have seen you day gaming. You might be living in Bath listening to this. Well, feel free to leave a comment. But I know in Bristol there's a few guys. I know a guy called Ollie in Bristol. Shout out to Ollie if you're listening. He was a very good day gamer. Last I heard, he had a girlfriend. But Bristol's a different kettle of fish. It's a bit like Cardiff. It is kind of possible.
Mm-hmm.
But Bath, what would you sum up? Like, would you suggest to a beginner to go to London or learn it somewhere else?
Yes, if you have the option of spending some time living in London, maybe a few months, definitely.
That's why you did you didn't just do the old boot camp, did you? You lived with us for a while.
I did a residential boot camp for a week, mm-hmm. and that did help. I think if I could stay there for a few months and just dedicate most of my time to doing that would make a huge difference.
Yeah. Desensitization, volume of approaches, yeah. it's all an upward spiral, you know?
That's right, yeah.
And what about traveling abroad? I know we got plans in the future, but
yeah.
I always say to guys, if you're in a small British city, you could hop on a budget airline and within a couple of hours you could be in Munich, or you could be in Barcelona, you know, you could be in Paris, and then do 2 or 3 days, try and get a long weekend if you can, calling sick off work, and just go mad, because you need that volume of approaching, don't you?
Mm.
Any plans to visit Asia again, big Asian cities?
Planning to go to Tokyo later this year with a good friend.
Arigato? Do we say arigato?
That's thank you.
Oh, how do we say hello?
Konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa. See, I haven't even got this weaseled down. I haven't even worked out the lingo. I wonder who that friend could be, Tim. Let's put that on hold. Let's see where that goes. That image of perverted Tokyo. Surely I wouldn't be that perverted to go to a place where girls dress up in Super Mario Pokemon schoolgirl costumes. No,
that's right. No, your cup of tea at all.
You wouldn't like that at all, Tim, would you? How weird! How marvelous! How big's Tokyo? Do you know?
I don't actually know.
I'm gonna Google it right now as we're talking. What about? Where else have you been in Asia?
I've been to Shanghai, Taipei, and Phuket in Thailand.
How was Taiwan?
Taiwan was a lot harder than I was expecting, but the quality there is extremely good.
And the English, any good?
It's not bad. If you open a girl by saying, "Do you speak English?" they'll just sort of shake their heads and say no, but I suspect their English is better than they're saying, but they're just not very confident with it.
Yeah, classic, when it's wobbly.
Yeah.
And I used to open with, do you speak English or how good is your English? Mm. Now, just go in.
Yeah.
That's a little trick from the last few years where you stop her and you say, "I hope you speak English." And it does encourage you to speak nice and slowly, doesn't it?
Yeah.
13.4 million.
Yep. Hopefully increasing soon.
What, the birth rate after you've been there, Tim?
Hopefully.
Yeah, massively so. They'll all suspiciously look like you. Well, that's going to be good because we just heard that, you know, Japan has the fastest falling population of any country in the world.
We have to do something about that.
Yeah, it's a humanitarian effort, really, isn't it?
That's right.
Good for you, Tim. I always knew you had a good heart. You're not just going over there for the schoolgirl costumes. Anyway, that'll be interesting to report back from there. Let me see how we're doing. I reckon that's half an hour. Look at that.
Yeah.
It's bang on-ish 30 minutes. So time has flown once again. Our coffees are finished.
Yeah, do you want another one?
Trying to make me pee throughout the night, I think.
Yeah.
But it's been a pleasure. It's been good day gaming today. We're going to try a little bit more tomorrow. But there you go. I hope that's motivation if you're in a small town, a small city. If you get the chance, go and day game in one of the meccas, London or New York. And I should add in, because I know there's going to be a comment about, oh, Asian girls are easier, you shouldn't just day game Asian girls. Should point out that Tim has day gamed in London, day gamed everything, tried everything, and you should. You shouldn't just say, okay, I'm going to approach Asian girls, because that can be a weasel. Some students on training have just said, oh, I just want to approach Asian girls. Try and learn to approach everything. But if you're like Tim and you do love Asian girls, then go for what you love. That's absolutely fine. All right, that was podcast number 30 from Bath. Cheers, Tim. See you soon.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Over and out. Ta-da.